reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Jonah. It's on at page 987, and we read Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and verse 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on the sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 7, page 1223 in your pew Bibles. And we read verses 29 through 31. "This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Mark, found on page 1069, and we read Mark 1, beginning at verse 14. After John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew and the brother of Simon casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on the book of Jonah, from which we read earlier. To repeat verses 10 of chapter 3 and chapter 4, the first part. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. This is our text. Please be seated. When I entered into college to begin my preparations for the office of holy ministry, our synod was still in the midst of a battle over Scripture. In one sense, that's an ongoing battle. But our synod was really struggling mightily with that question in the early 70s. And while at that time, when compared to today, a lot of our more liberal professors and members of synod would seem like conservatives to most of the liberals today, there are a couple of books of the Bible that, if you will, they just couldn't swallow. And one of them was Jonah. It just didn't seem plausible that somebody could survive in the belly of, well, let's just call it a large aquatic animal, for 3 days. There have been suggestions that it is possible. I remember years ago hearing a story from the legendary newscaster Paul Harvey. And he even had a name and a place and a date of some fellow who had fallen overboard, was swallowed by a sperm whale, which indeed is possible. A sperm whale could swallow a human being whole. I think Pinocchio also had that experience, if I'm not mistaken. But unfortunately, within a sperm whale's gullet, there is no air to breathe, only the same thing we have, methane gases. And to survive for 3 days, well, friends, that would take a miracle. But then again, surviving crucifixion and being speared in your lungs and in your heart and being buried with no immediate medical treatment, well, nobody can survive that either. It would take a miracle. And you know, it is simply impossible for virgins to give birth. It just isn't possible. That would take a miracle. But since Scripture treats this account as actual history, since Jesus himself refers to this account as, if you will, symbolic of his resurrection, we take it to be something that actually did happen. Because despite earthly evidence, we believe someone can rise from the dead even after being crucified and speared. And that, at least in one case, virgins can have a baby. And if those things can happen, why not someone surviving in the belly of a whale for 3 days, as Scripture describes? But that's not really the biggest miracle that is in the book of Jonah. When God calls Jonah, Jonah reacts really as normal human beings would react.
if you understood what the Assyrian people were like. Recently, I did a little extra digging into Nineveh and Assyria for one of our Bible study groups. For a long time, we knew very little about Nineveh because it was completely destroyed. But then, about 1850, somebody discovered the city. There were all kinds of carvings in the walls of that city, and it was a great city. In fact, at the time of Jonah and for a while thereafter, it was the largest city in the world. And it was the center of economic activity for the world. It was sort of like Tokyo or New York City. And the Assyrians were a powerful kingdom and had been so for literally thousands of years. But they were also extraordinarily cruel. Go into all the types of things they would do when they would conquer peoples. But let's just say if some nation were doing it today, it'd go down as some of the most horrific crimes humanity has ever committed. And they didn't just like to conquer peoples, they liked to wipe them off from the face of the earth. Later on, they would conquer Israel, the northern kingdom. And they would take and totally displace all their residents, scatter them throughout the world as slaves, so that the people, Israel, simply didn't exist anymore. They were hated above all other nations. And so what you would expect would happen when God comes to Jonah and says, I want you to go to preach to them. And I want you to call upon them to repent. Well, Jonah does what normal people would do. He rebelled. Why would anybody want to help these people? And he fled. And while he was fleeing, a mighty storm came up. And everybody on his boat was going to be drowned. And he realized it was his fault. And so he allowed himself to be thrown overboard in that big aquatic animal, whatever it was, swallowed him. And he spent 3 days in there. And finally, the animal vomited him up on shore, and God had his attention and gave him a message to bring to the people of Nineveh. Is there anybody you know who's beyond help? Anybody you know who's so cruel and nothing can ever change them? Well, that's the people that God sent Jonah to. And here's another miracle. They heard the message of God. And they repented. Perhaps God had been doing some preparation. While the Assyrians had been a great nation, this is probably one of the low points in their history. We don't hear much about this other nation I'm going to mention in the Bible. But north of Assyria and far separated from the kingdom of Israel, there was a nation called the Urartu, also great and powerful. And they had been winning some battles against Assyria. And their kings
of Assyria were weak. And that great city of Nineveh, well, it was just a little bit south of the Urartu. It might have been that they were shaking in their boots. And also at this time, Israel was at the height of its power. No other time in history had Israel been such a great nation, although they were far separated from Syria at this particular point. But it's as if God was preparing this people to respond to his message. If you will, he was beating on them with his law. And when this prophet from a foreign nation shows up and begins to preach, they listen. And they repent. And God, who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, and he relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them. And he did not do it. God doesn't work miracles just inside of whales or graves or wombs. He performs miracles inside of human hearts. He changes that which to the world and maybe to us can't be changed. The greatest miracle of all is that which God has done to you and me as well. Have you ever been cruel in your life? You ever been rebellious? You ever said to God, "Yeah, I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I will. Are we really that much different?" And yet God so loved the world that he goes to his son and he asks him to take our place. Who does that for such a wretched people? That's just not natural. That's not the way the world works. And we're absolutely right in that assessment. It takes something miraculous. The miracle of God's love. And so one day he sends him into this world to die for rebellious people, to take upon himself the sins of others for which he is not guilty. And he does this willingly, going to the cross, not only suffering death, but suffering rejection from the Father himself, that we may be saved. And then there's that miracle of the resurrection. God does miracles all the time. Surviving in the belly of a large aquatic animal, that's nothing. Turning a wicked, evil human heart, that's amazing. And it only happens through the might, the power, and the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. May God grant that we believe in miracles. And there's nothing to which we ever say that would be too hard for God. And so, believing in miracles, reach out to those who the rest of the world might reject. to those whom our own hearts would say, it's not worth it. They'll never change. But yet to call on them to repent and to tell them about an amazing God. A God who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.